And good morning. Welcome in to the Front Porch here on this Tuesday morning, the 6th day of May. And of course, we have Mike Hubble in with us. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
And Mike, we got some special guests in with us today in the studios.
We have our field directors for the country of Bangladesh, Agape's field directors. We have a ministry, of course, in Russellville called Agape Service Foundation. Mm-hmm. And they are oversee our work in the country of Bangladesh.
Okay.
And now to tell you more about Bangladesh, that's way over there on the other side of the world.
Yeah,
Southeast Asia area.
So what time would it be in Bangladesh right now?
Teresa, what time is it there now?
It would be about 8 p.m.
About 8 p.m.?
Yes.
So they're just getting ready to go to bed.
Yeah, yeah, they go to bed. We get it. Yeah.
It's actually dinner time there. They're eating their supper just about this time of day.
Okay, okay. So they like to eat a little later then.
They eat later in the day. Their philosophy is a full stomach, you sleep better.
Okay, I can understand that. It's kind of like it's kind of like a bear when he eats and he goes into hibernation. I guess I sleep a little better when I eat,
Anyway. I always snack at night, you know.
Yeah,
maybe a spoonful of peanut butter or something.
I was listening to something the other day, and this guy was talking. He said he usually gets up at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning and gets a snack. I've never been that type of person. When I go to sleep, I'm asleep. And when I get up, of course, I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, but anyway. But
3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, before the roosters ever crow.
Man, I know. I believe that.
But anyway, what's some of the things going on in Bangladesh right now that needs to be – let's move that mic just a tad closer if we could. That way you can kind of explain what's going on, with what's going on in Bangladesh.
Well, Bangladesh is the third largest Muslim country in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they've gone through in the last 6 to 8 months a change of government in that country. They ousted their prime minister, and there has been a temporary government set up at this point in time. And it has more ties to the Muslims.
Okay.
So we are beginning to see a lot more Muslim activity going on within the country. The Christians have been persecuted, but the Buddhists have been persecuted too, in all different areas. So as of yesterday, there was a very strong push to bring a older law of Sharia law back into the country.
Okay.
And that means the women don't drive, the women don't vote, the women don't go anywhere without the man.
Oh, wow.
That's putting you back into almost Stone Ages for the United States.
For the United States, it's like Stone Ages.
So you're going to tell me that I can't walk the street without my husband.
Yeah.
I can't take my child to school.
Wow.
That's just around the corner without my husband.
Wow.
I can't go to the market. I can't go to the bank. I can't make any kind of transactions. It's all a man's world when that happens.
The Sharia laws is they try to get that up in Michigan or some of the places that are strong Muslim areas.
There are different types of Sharia law, but this is the old order of Sharia law. So it's so strict. This is what you see more in like Somalia.
Okay.
And in those countries where you see the women all in the black and they don't move around much, they don't get education. And that's what this new push is within the country.
Gotcha.
So they've had some Sharia law, but it's been more of a modern Sharia law there.
All right.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Psalm 40, verse 4, "Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." Charles Spurgeon wrote, "There is one who cares for you. His eye is fixed on you. His heart beats with pity for your woe, and his omnipotent hand shall bring you the needed help. The darkest cloud shall scatter itself in the showers of mercy. He, if you are one of his family, will bind up your wounds and heal your broken heart. Do not doubt his grace because of your tribulation, but believe that he loves you as much in seasons of trouble as in seasons of happiness. If God cares for you, why do you need to care too? Can you trust him for your soul and not your body?" Great words. Lord, help me to put them into practice. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It has blessed me more than I can express. The encouragement it brings, it's like water. It's like oxygen for the soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Welcome back to the front porch on this Tuesday morning. Of course, if you're out driving, you might be, somewhat careful. A little bit of fog out there this morning. I know it around 4-ish, coming from Todd County, I ran into a few spots of some fog. I think y'all said
we had fog all the way.
Fog all the way.
Fog, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
from Russellville.
So be careful out there. But anyway, we have Larry and Teresa Ritchie with us, and of course, directors, Agape's field directors for Bangladesh. And of course, now how many churches do you have in Bangladesh right now?
Under the Bangladesh ministry, there are 30 church buildings.
Okay.
Now, those started in 2003. They were not built by Agape, but these are other ministry partners. Cadiz Baptist Church has been a real big sponsor, in providing the money into the country to build the building. And then Agape comes along, and we have evangelists, and some of those become pastors, and they stay, and they leave the evangelistic field to stay as a pastor. But that's to say they also pastor more than one church. So in their little community, there could be 7 or 8 areas, and it could even be under a tree that they are sharing the gospel.
So they could move around to a different church.
Yes.
All throughout the day.
All throughout the week.
So they just move in different places all through the week. Okay.
All through the week. There's the Christians do church on Sunday.
Okay.
Just like we do here.
Sure.
But it is a Muslim country.
Okay.
So Friday is like their Saturday in that country. So that's a big shopping day on Saturday. Then is their Sunday. So the Muslims go to church on Saturday. So we're able to have what we consider to be a children's camp, like a mini Sunday school on Fridays in the villages. And then the pastors can preach any day of the week that they want to, whenever the people are available.
Well, that's nice.
And it has to be worked around the farming schedule.
Sure.
You know, if you're out farming rice, you can't leave that field.
Yeah.
So we work around those areas, too.
So what's the percentage of Christians in that area?
Less than 1%.
Less than 1%.
Yes. Less than 1%. And that's just on record. I mean,
I mean, I don't know how they know exactly, but
sure.
I don't. Do you, Larry? How in the world they know?
No, I don't know how they know.
But there's not. You know, you don't see churches everywhere.
Gotcha.
You know, like we do here.
So it's not like when you drive down the corner, you see a church here and a church there. You just it's kind of far.
No, you'll see mosque and
and different things like that. Now, in Bangladesh, are Christians being persecuted?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. So it's hard being a Christian in that area.
One thing we do when we're working with our evangelists is we teach them that you're standing out for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, the whole world knows where you stand.
Yeah.
And in a country that is Muslim, Hindi, Buddhist, Christians are frowned upon. They are persecuted. Yeah. Their houses are burned.
Wow.
Their items are burned. Things are stolen from them. It's a really hard stance, but once they make that decision to follow Jesus Christ and they are baptized, that is the public announcement for them that they are a Christian, then they have to understand that persecution comes.
Sure.
And it doesn't matter if you're 12 years old or you're 102.
Sure.
They don't care.
Yeah.
They will persecute you.
They'll have to baptize at night sometimes.
Really?
Yeah, because of the danger, don't you, Larry?
Yeah.
They'll have to do that.
So when you go to a country like this, to Bangladesh, and, you're a minister, you have to pretty much know what you're going into when you go to this area.
Absolutely.
That you could that you could be persecuted, you could be killed, anything like that. So you're just that.
Or you can be kidnapped.
Kidnapped. You're stepping out in faith that the Lord will take care of you. You know, when you go do something. But you know, I'm glad we live in a country in the United States that so far, you know, there's not a whole lot of persecution, but there's more of that coming.
It is.
You know, and we're going to see more of that, I think, as time goes along, because I don't know about y'all, but I hear the old-timers say, man, things have changed so much.
Mm-hmm.
And even in my lifetime, I have seen things change so much.
Exactly.
That we never know day-to-day what's going to take place, you know, in our churches.
Persecution there can come, like Teresa said. They may not sell to you in the marketplaces.
Yeah.
Or trade with you, you know, some way.
Really?
Yeah.
So if they didn't trade with you, of course you just wouldn't be eating, I guess, right?
You have to find somewhere that will trade with you.
Okay.
And it could cost you a whole lot more.
Uh-huh.
The average income over there is less than $300 a month.
Oh wow.
American dollar.
$300 a month.
Yes.
That wouldn't last very long.
No. And their cost of living, just like ours, has gone up.
Yeah.
A bag of rice. A 50-pound bag of rice has gone up 200% in 12 months.
Oh, wow.
So when they go to the village store, uh-huh. which is kind of like a little strip mall that we have,
sure.
They get just a small handful of rice. It's just enough for that day.
Wow.
They work on a day-to-day salary.
Uh-huh.
We see a lot of labor in the working the brickyard.
Yeah, in the brickyards.
And the fields.
You know, they make a lot of brick there.
They make a lot of
things are made out bricks. Of brick,
and that's a dusty, dirty job.
Sure, sure. So now, are they able to have livestock?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. My first trip in was in 2011, and here was this lady with a string around a cow,
a skinny
little cow, going down the center of the road. That cow was this. Probably better behaved than most kids.
Really?
Okay, so yeah, that was really an unusual thing for me to see.
Yeah.
You will see some pigs. That's not a real big market there. You see a lot of chickens and things of that nature.
Chickens are everywhere.
Chickens and turkeys are now.
That's a staple. You know, I think of, and I'm sitting here thinking about O.D. Boyd, who's gone on to be the Lord, and Larry Kemp over in Katie's, and some others over there, and man, I tell you what they've done, you know. And I know Katie's listens to us over there, and so you know, to go in these areas and to risk your life, and to go out in the villages, and we used to go out in the villages and preach the gospel.
Still do. Mm-hmm.
Still do. I mean, you know, we'd go out and of course. They gather around you, and you start sharing the gospel. And,
sure, sure.
And so that's how they're planted. It's the old way of planting churches in these countries.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, in America, we have churches on every corner.
That's right.
But there, you know, I mean, to hear the gospel one time, I'm a missionary from heart.
Sure.
And this is missionary radio.
Yes.
And I know Ken's been a missionary. And,
yes.
And this is missionary radio. You know, for years I've been going into mission fields.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the world has never heard the gospel one time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One time. Not even one time, the gospel.
Yeah.
And we think, well, that's not possible. We got radio and TV everywhere. Do you have radio and TV everywhere? They're playing Christian radio over there?
We may have TV or type of radio, but it's certainly not Christian.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, Transworld Radio, who we support.
Well, yeah.
They're in a lot of places in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, you don't hear radio, Christian mm-hmm. radio anywhere.
Well, you know, I think so many times, you know, it's mentioned, you know, in the Bible that talking about the end times, you know, when the Lord gets ready to return, that his word will be heard. Pretty much it's going to have to go into every place before the end of time. And, you know, as of right now, it's not reached everybody. The gospel hasn't reached everybody. So not everybody's heard. A lot of people say, oh, yeah, there's still people that still don't know.
It's because they don't know.
They just don't know. You know, when I became a Christian at 14, I wasn't taught about Jesus when I was growing up. I really didn't know nothing about Jesus. So, you know, you take somebody, you just don't know, you know, and when you're introduced, you're like, really? There's a guy that died for me? There's a God that can save me, and one day I can go to a place called heaven and live eternity, you know, live in eternity. It's amazing to me.
Joe Shim on Moon Tell us a little about some of the evangelists we've had.
We've had some evangelists that have come from the Muslim background.
Mm-hmm.
And, we always hear stories.
Well, sure.
And so they love to share how they came to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So was it Mamoun?
Manmohan.
Manmohan.
Yeah.
Manmohan.
Tell us about him, Larry.
Manmohan. He had a vision.
Uh-huh.
And Jesus come to him, and that's how he got saved. And in his vision, Jesus had just kind of like a little cloak on.
Yeah.
And that's the way he dressed.
Yeah.
And he would go out and teach the gospel dressed in his little cloak there.
Hey.
So
that's pretty amazing.
He was an awesome man.
That's amazing. Well, let's break away just for a little bit. We got to get into our Penned from the Heart here on Missionary Radio. And, of course, you're listening to The Front Porch.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Hopkinsville, God keeps blessing us, and we will not stop being a blessing to others. God bless you guys for doing a good job. From Clarksville, I've been so blessed by your ministry. A friend introduced me to this station. Thank you for continuing this wonderful ministry. From a Russellville listener, keep up the good work. Also from Clarksville, I enjoy listening to Missionary Radio, and I've almost since it started.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
The world needs King Jesus. Missionary Radio.
Mike Humble and, of course, Larry and Teresa Ritchie, Agape's field directors for Bangladesh, and been talking about things going on in Bangladesh. Now, off mic, we was talking about some things. Okay, what about, you said something about orphanages.
Yes, we have an orphanage in Bangladesh. It's called the Humble Home, and we have been operating that since 2010. That's when our first group of young people came in, and they were young. They were probably 5-6 years old at that point in time, and we've raised these children as they've come in. These have been kids that have been found in villages that their parents didn't want them. In the country of Bangladesh, if mom should die in childbirth and has another child, then the husband will remarry most of the time. And he can choose whether to keep that first child or not.
That mama, that new woman, wife, may not want those children.
Mm.
So they have to go to the streets or a relative or something.
So
she'll make life miserable to the kid to leave. Yeah. Little bitty kids. I'm not talking about a teenager. I'm talking about little bitty kids.
Wow. So they'll put them out to fend for themselves if somebody won't take them?
Yeah. Just
wow.
Yeah, because I don't want that woman's child.
Wow.
So
that's something. Now, you said the name of the orphanage was?
Humble Home.
Humble Home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we named it after my father.
Wow.
He started Agape Ministry.
Okay.
He did that, yeah.
Now, what year was Agape started?
In 1971.
1971. So a few years before I was
born. My daddy was a Methodist minister, and he wanted an ecumenical outreach to work with other churches. And so he started mainly to work with young people because he was a guidance counselor in Apollo High School in Owensboro. Mm-hmm. And so that's how it got started.
So how did it come up with the name Agape?
Well, Agape, as everybody knows, it's been around a while that Agape is a Greek word for Christ-like love.
Okay, okay.
And he used that word and registered with the state, Agape Service Foundation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, I know we also was talking about there is other ministries.
Yes.
That partner with you guys and helps out as well. Do you want to mention some of those that that help us help you all out?
Nobody does this alone.
Sure.
It's Jesus first.
Well, absolutely.
And then all the partners that come together. So we've already mentioned Cadiz Baptist Church and the team there that have been so gracious to provide funding, to provide manpower. We wouldn't even known about Bangladesh had it not been for Mr. O.D. Boyd and Larry Kemp inviting Brother Mike to come over. That was a God-appointed time. Uh-huh. We have partnered with Marty Hunter and Ray Gilbert. Ray Gilbert goes in and he does children's ministries there. Mm-hmm. We have a ministry we partner with out of Mississippi called E320 with Junior and Margaret Davis. And they're a big sponsor for financial, but they're hands and feet, missionaries mm-hmm. too, so when they can be within the country. Right now their health is kind of struggling, so
sure.
they're not in. On our same property that shares there, we have another home. It does not belong to Agape. It belongs to a missionary group out of Mississippi, and it's called the Reshma House.
Okay.
Those young ladies, and it is all young ladies, there's about 12 of them, and they're young. They are all prostitutes' children. Because
really?
In that country, if you have a child out of wedlock, it doesn't have a father's last name.
Oh,
and a father's last name does not allow you anything in public. So if you have no last name of a father, you can't go to school. You can't, you couldn't buy, you can't sell, you can't trade.
Wow.
So if you can't go to school, you can't count your money.
No, can't learn to
count your money. Can't learn anything. And the madam in a brothel has you right where she wants you.
Sure.
She can take your money.
Yeah.
She can trade you out.
Wow.
She can sell you.
There's a lot of brothels in Bangladesh, just like it is all around the world.
Sure, sure.
People don't realize. You know.
And we work in brothel area, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have a school, so it just teaches basic. We do teach a little English.
Okay.
But we teach the math, and we teach them their language, just some history. You have to be able to go in and teach history to them and stuff. So, yeah, we're working in several different areas.
Mm-hmm.
But our main focus will always be to share Jesus wherever
Amen.
We go.
Amen. Now, what ages are you looking at when they're being sold out or whatever? Do they start young?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
As young as 2 or 3 years old.
Oh my gosh.
Some would be sold out as trafficking. Some would be sold out as a slave to move into a family and care for. They're cleaning, they're cooking, their shoes, they're just whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever, okay. Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting. I guess the old saying is we never know how good we have it here.
Exactly.
Until we hear what's going on in other countries.
You know, trafficking is a big thing.
Yeah.
And you sometimes hear about sex trafficking, but
these
are young girls.
Oh, yeah.
That they traffic. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's very big in that part of the world.
Wow. It's very interesting.
Rape is a big thing in that country. Mm-hmm. Young girls are raped. Women, old women, young women. Rape is huge. And so within that, in saying that, we can't house young men, boys, with our girls. We had that vision as a United States citizen. We have boys and girls everywhere.
Sure.
But we built the humble home. We brought in some boys, young boys, to live there. And it wasn't too long that there began to be issues, because when you attend school and everybody else is talking about what they did and women are no good, they're just like a piece of property. You can sell them, you can trade them, you can throw them away. Doesn't matter. So we do still have 4 young men. They are in a hostel. They are still continuing their education.
Yeah.
One's in high school. The other 3 are still, one's in junior high, and the other 2 are in probably the last part of their elementary years there.
Got
but
you.
Agape
Got
still
you.
Supports that. We pay for their education. They just can't live on our property.
Got you. Wow, that's interesting. Really interesting. I say I'm learning stuff as we go along. I'm sitting there going, really? Wow.
I mean, you know, it's 91% Muslim.
Yeah.
It's 8% Hindu.
Mm-hmm.
And like she said, the 1% is mixed between Buddhists and Christians in that country.
Okay.
So, you know, the persecution can become very hard at times.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people the Muslims will persecute you, the Hindus will persecute you, the Buddhists will even persecute you.
Yeah.
You know, as a Christian. I'm talking about
Christian. Sure.
And so, you know, it's a tough life. So I wanted Larry and Teresa to come in and encourage people to pray for the work in Bangladesh.
Yeah.
And the Christians in Bangladesh.
Yeah.
Because they face such persecution. Mm-hmm. They face life and death situations.
Yes.
And you know, it's not an easy life.
I would imagine. But
you know, they're brave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That sounds like it. Sounds like it. Well, I tell you what, let's take another little break. We'll be back shortly with the Front Porch. But let's get into Johnny Erickson Tana sharing hope here on Missionary Radio.
I'm Johnny, and I've got my good friend back in the studio, Sean Thornton. Welcome, Sean.
Thank you, Johnny. It's great to be here again.
And I'm so glad that you are now the new president of Johnny and Friends. And that's a big responsibility,
but you
know a lot about it, don't you?
I do.
Well, one of the first things that I want you to do, aside from becoming acclimated with our teams and our organizational structure and yada, yada, I want you to go on a Wheels for the World outreach to Zambia, or how about Nicaragua, or Thailand. I'd like you to serve at an international family retreat in Ukraine. Hopefully soon when that war ends, we'll be back in Ukraine. So many places where there are hurting people with disabilities. What excites you most about not just leading the organization, but the ministry of Johnny and Friends?
All the things you mentioned. I look forward to being on Wheels trips in those various places. Wheels for the World is making a difference in cultures that are longing for hope, and that hope is found in Jesus. And that wheelchair, as you know better than anybody, opens the door in so many places. So I'm looking forward to that. In the broader vision, I hope there will be many occasions where we as a ministry will be bringing that hope and joy and peace that's found only in Jesus to people who've gone through a lot and are struggling, some in darkness, some marginalized in their communities. And I have this deep vision to see the church mobilize globally.
Amen.
The church to be globalized. Because in my own upbringing, the church tried. The folks at my local church growing up, they really tried, but they weren't equipped. They didn't know how to do that. And I think we'll have this wonderful opportunity to equip the church in the United States and all around the world to share that hope and to share that hope of Jesus with people affected by disability.
Well, bing, that's exactly why I'm excited that you're at the helm. Because, I remember, Sean, I was once in Ethiopia, I think, and I met a pastor who was stunned that we were pursuing an outreach to children with autism in Addis Ababa. He couldn't believe it. He didn't think these people were quite human.
Oh, and breaks my heart.
It does break my heart. And in so many parts of the world, if you have a disability, you're viewed as cursed.
Right.
By the animist spirits or by witch doctors. And what I am excited about, you've been a pastor. You know the difference a church makes mm-hmm. in the community that loves the Lord Jesus and holds forth the inerrant word of God. I'm excited that you are going to add fuel to that fire and develop that whole church training aspect, which now is pretty good. We're doing a good job.
Yeah.
But there's 1.3 billion people with disabilities and almost as many churches. Mm-hmm. We need to get the word out that God delights in sharing his love with those with afflictions, right?
Amen. That just resonates with my heart and just excites me. I can't wait to start.
Oh, Sean, I know that disability ministry is your heartbeat because I've been over to your church, Calvary Westlake, many times. Your special abilities outreach is awesome. Just tell us one aspect of it.
Well, the one thing that I really love about it is it has changed the culture of the whole church.
Really?
So you can even have a voice cry in worship that's maybe some disruptive. We see that voice as a sweet voice in worship.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So it's just reshaped the whole culture of the church.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Sean. And listening friends, again, you want to get Sean's book called All But Normal, about his home life as he was a child with a mom who was significantly disabled and the trauma and all that he learned and all that she learned as well. So just go to johnnyradio.org and we've provided a link where you can get your own copy. Sean, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Johnny.
I'm excited about the future.
Me too.
If you've tried to listen to the old app for Missionary Radio on your iPhone, you may have noticed it's not there. Missionary Radio now has a new app available for iPhone and Android users. It's quick and easy to download. For iPhone users, go to the App Store and enter the keywords Missionary Radio, and you'll be ready to install it. For Android users, go to Google Play, enter the keywords Missionary Radio, and you'll be set to install it. Once you've installed the new Missionary Radio app, we encourage you to share it with a friend. Invite your church family to download our new app. You will help us promote the station while at the same time share the gospel too. This reminder, the old app is gone, but we have a new app available for Apple and Android users. The keywords are Missionary Radio for the download. Thank you for listening to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio. Online at missionary.radio and your free app.
Missionary. Missionary Radio.
And of course, once again this morning, Mike Humble and of course Larry and Teresa Ritchie, Agape's field directors for Bangladesh. Now, Larry, I understand that you have a story of a cow.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay.
We were in a village one day ministering.
Uh-huh.
And this Hindi man ran up to us and said, please come, please come. Hindis don't like Christians, but they respect us.
Yeah, you know, sure.
For what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And we followed him, and he took us to his cow. To a Hindi, their cow is more or less sacred. They use it for milk and use their dung and put it on sticks for firewood.
Okay.
So he said, my cow's sick, and I'm afraid he's going to die. So four or five of us laid hands on the cow, prayed for him, and so that was the first. And we left, and two or three days later, we got the word back, said, my cow was healed.
Well, that's good.
So we got to show him the love of God.
Amen. That shows you God can heal a cow.
Yes, sir.
You know? I believe that, no doubt about it. He can do anything he wants to, that's for sure. Now, of course, I know we kind of mentioned just a little bit about it, but let's mention maybe the water filter system that you said.
Well,
was...
we started off by putting water filters in the country because we had some engineers in our church, and where I went to church at, Living Word Church in Adairville, and they built. I went to them about building a water filter that would take arsenic out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
They have a bad arsenic problem there and metals and. And so we designed a very simple filter and was able to go over and get the material there. And it is basically an old sand filtration system. We had gravel and silt filter, sand stuff. Mm-hmm. What they do in the water treatment things
sure.
as well. But and so we built a filter, and we placed hundreds of them in that country. And then it became a very popular thing. I mean, it... other people used it, and even the government used it, and started getting arsenic. Arsenic kills you.
Well, sure.
And some countries have a big arsenic problem in their water, and when the kids drink it, they get cancers. Their skin starts getting turned colors and stuff like that. It's a big issue around the world is arsenic.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially in that part of the world.
Wow.
Well, you know, Brother Mike, in sharing that, it reminds me of how easy we got into the villages because they wanted their water tested.
They wanted their water tested for arsenic.
And then they would get their filters. At first they were free, and then we began to charge just a very, very small amount. And then the items inside that filter were renewable because they were within their own country.
Mm-hmm.
So they could get more sand, more rocks. Yeah. And we're only talking about maybe a 5-gallon bucket size filter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So very portable,
one
family type situation. But then that family would say, why do you keep coming back to make sure our filter is still working? Like we were trying to sell them another one.
Yeah.
And you get the chance to share Jesus. We're coming because we love you.
Sure.
And every village understood there was a difference in the tone that our team, and these were Bengali teams going in, and Brother Mike and some different ones. So I've been in the village. I know how those children appreciated that water.
Sure.
Just to have clean water and to know that it wasn't going to eat their stomachs.
It got started with the Acadies Baptists over there that I went in with them to test the water, and water testing things, the arsenic levels in the water.
Yeah.
And then one I remember one little village was in, this guy looked at me. He said, everybody tests their water. When are you going to come back with a solution?
Mm.
And, you know, so that's when we built the filters and started going in with them, and they're very effective. You know, because the only other way to get arsenic out of the water and metals out of the water is have deep wells.
Deep wells,
and they're very expensive to
do. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You dig those
now,
deep wells.
Now, did y'all have a certain person that created those filters, that come up with those filters?
Or well, just we have a team. People
to do, you to know, build
we have
those.
A director over there.
Uh-huh. We have a couple of men from Adairable that built the trial run.
Yeah, did the trial
run. Knew what they were doing.
Okay.
They could teach Brother Mike and Larry how to do those filters. Mm-hmm. And take in that knowledge with them, because you can't take the filter in. You can't take rock and sand and things like that in.
Yeah.
And so they taught them how to build the filter. And then when they got back within the Bangladesh country, and this was probably 2005, 2006 era.
Sure.
So having clean water was something that nobody in that country had at that point in time.
Was not used to it at all.
No, no. And it's such a simple thing that God gave these men the knowledge of how to build that. Mm-hmm. And then you could drop in a drop, if you wanted just a little bit cleaner.
At the end.
At the very end of the processing of the water, you could drop in maybe a drop of iodine, a drop of bleach, something like that. To get a little bit more parasites out of it.
Sure, sure,
you know,
sure.
Not just arsenic. You're talking about parasites, too.
Well, yeah. Now, what about as far as now all those filters last a month, a week?
If it was a family of four to six, they were lasting about a month.
About a month.
But now the government has come into many village areas, and they have either deep well dug something down.
Sure.
So it doesn't mean you have running water in your hut. Mm-hmm. It means you're still going down to the local cistern.
Gotcha.
Yeah, to get water.
And getting water and carrying it back. But God opened the door. He's the living water, and He gave us the ability to go in and show clean water.
Amen.
And He, you know, that water was tested basically with a pool, swimming pool filter kit.
That's amazing.
And share the gospel.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that those folks are not just, they're just not used to probably having that love shown to them.
Exactly.
Like, why are you here to help us for, you know, but you're helping them out of love because that's what we're supposed to do.
Exactly.
Is love one another. So, it's pretty amazing.
So from water filters to orphanages to evangelistical with a team, we keep a current team of about six evangelists right now on staff.
Okay.
One teacher in the brothel area, nine girls at the Humble Home, four boys associated with it. And then everybody is Bengali. There is no American on staff in the country.
Yeah.
So with your missionary radio listeners, prayer is so important.
Oh, yes.
If you want to know more about it, you can reach out to Agape Service Foundation. Brother Mike, myself, Larry, any of us would be glad to talk to you. We can be reached by phone at 270-726-7109. You can look us up on our website at agapesvf.com.
Or Facebook.
Yeah,
you got Facebook?
Yes.
Agape Service Foundation is on Facebook.
So. All right. I think everything's on Facebook.
I think so.
Pretty much.
You know, everything you want to do a search, just go to Facebook and you'll find it somewhere or another.
Yeah.
Now, let's go from water to raising food.
Okay.
Now, you say they like to eat a lot of rice.
Oh, rice is a staple.
So rice is a staple.
Yes.
And, of course, you know, you heard my expression on rice. I mean, I like it okay, but, you know, it'd be hard for me to probably
let
to eat it every day, but anyway.
But in a country that knows no different.
That's true.
They don't have fried pork chop. They don't have bacon.
That's something.
Well, they don't eat pork.
Well, never eat pork.
Pork's not available within
that. Pork's not available.
The Hindus do.
There is. Yeah. The Hindus do raise pigs.
Okay.
They will raise some pigs, but you don't see anything like that as far as meat in a shop where you can get it. So it's mostly vegetables and chicken and fish.
Well, you know, how much land do we have there? But acre, 5 acres? Or?
No, we have about an acre all told.
About an acre all.
Yeah.
But they raise rice on it.
Uh-huh.
So I assume they probably stay pretty healthy then?
They're pretty healthy,
yeah. We're eating vegetables and rice and fish, you know, it's pretty healthy.
I mean, you know, they,
Pretty healthy eating.
But then the village people don't have a lot of money. They don't have a lot of land. Yeah, they don't have a place to grow anything. So they're day laborers again. So they're not very healthy.
Yeah.
No, they may look like they're healthy because they have a round belly from all that rice.
Yeah.
But there wasn't any chicken. There wasn't any fish. No, there's no eggs.
No eggs.
A lot of places don't have fresh milk.
Mm.
So things that we take for granted, when you step on a third world country soil, you begin to realize just how blessed you are.
That's so true. So true. You know, we have that blessing. We can walk into the grocery store.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Everything's right there.
Or to have electricity.
Electricity.
Even whether we have an orphanage in Haiti.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we just recently just purchased a generator for where they were living at.
Mm-hmm.
To have electricity.
Yeah, yeah. Mike, anything else that y'all want to add this morning before we wrap things up?
No, just pray for the Christians in Bangladesh, and we like to see that happen. And get on Facebook and check us out, and at least you get our information where to contact us at, and do that, and get involved in your church missions as well.
Absolutely.
Because I know most of the churches have mission programs.
Oh, yeah.
And have missionaries and support missions.
Yes, yes.
And support us at Missionary Radio.
That's right. Support us at Missionary Radio.
We are a mission outreach.
That's right.
We're supported by listeners.
We are supported
by
listeners.
So I'm on the board of directors, so support us as well. We thank
Absolutely.
You when you do support
yes.
us.
Yes, very much.
So much.
Very much. Teresa, give the information again you gave there a few minutes ago, how they can keep up with Agape and what's going on.
All right. If you want to reach out to us by telephone, our phone number is 270-726-7109. We can be found on our website at agapesvf.com or on Facebook under Agape Service Foundation. We'd love to talk to you if you want to talk to us about supporting one of the children in the Haiti mission, in the Bangladesh mission. If you just want to get involved, call us because we want you involved. It's all about all of us serving Jesus together.
Amen.
Thank you so much for allowing us to come on today.
It's been a joy.
Radio. Maybe we can do this again sometime.
Yes, yes. Thank you all so much for coming in and being with us today. And we appreciate you listening to The Front Porch on this Tuesday. And join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. here on Missionary Radio for The Front Porch.